this whole section that is all by itself, barren as it is, come down and put more in. Yeah, could you? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thanks, brother. Wow, that was... I was a mess during the worship. Wow. Whenever you get a song that says, "This is our God," man, we will stand before God someday. You will stand. You will stand before the Lord God. And you'll see Him as you've always wanted to and never been able to. And when it talks about, "And I will fall down," those days are coming, brothers and sisters. And I can't wait for it, but there's a bunch of people that need to hear about the gospel. And we need to tell them. We need to ensure the fact that we are doing what God calls us today. So today is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to put David aside, okay, for a little bit of a couple of weeks here, because I want you to understand who we are, what we are, and what's going on. So if you'll take your sheet of paper that you have there, I want to make sure everybody's got that. Okay. Because we're going to need that, and we want to go through what the mission of Hope Chapel is. Now, let me begin this way. You've been up and down and up and down, but let me ask you all, if you would, just please stand, okay? If you would all stand, and I want you to turn around to the person next to you or around in front. I don't want anybody in here not to know somebody. So turn around, shake hands, give a hug if you know the person. If they're your enemy, slap them and then pray for them, okay? We want everybody to know everybody, so... If you're in the front row, you got to get out of the front row and go find other people.
How are you?
Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Good, 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 good. I'll take him to... Okay, you can be seated. I just got a huge hug from a little child. That's what makes pastoring worth it. Okay, now what I want you also to do right now, you've hugged everybody around you or you've said welcome to everybody. But I want to start asking you questions and I want you to give me some feedback as we go through this, okay? Is God all-powerful?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is God sovereign?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is God in control? Now, be careful with this one. Is God in control of your life? Okay. Is it God's will for you to be here? On this day, at this moment, is it God's sovereign will that you are here? Okay. So, look around. Because His same will was for the person that's sitting behind you and around you. All right? This is whom God has called you to be in fellowship and community with. God called Lee and Mary Lynn, who are our neighbors. God called them to our neighborhood. That's not just, hey, just luck or just a blessing. No, it's God's design. Make sense? Okay. So the person sitting next to you, whether you're married or whether you're parenting, it's God's will for you to be in relationship with them. Does that make sense? So Megan was a college kid, and now she's out and she's doing her work, all right? Is it God's will for her to be working with the teens? Yes, all right. I want you to see that, and I want you to sense that. This is not just something that happens. This is God's will in your life. It's God's will for you to have the parents that you have. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So it's God's will for you to have the children that you have. Amen? Amen. That's God's choice. I've got 6 kids. One's in heaven. That's God's choice. Man, do we miss him. But I know when I breathe my last, besides seeing Jesus, I'm going to see my kid. Have a wonderful, wonderful time in reunion. Okay. That's God's will. It's God's will for you to be with this group. This has become so dear to me in the last 2 to 3 years. This is God's will. And God brings. And what's the next one? And God takes away. God's not up in heaven going, oh, no, what happened? He's not doing that. He's got it planned out. You say, does anything happen that's not in... Brother, you can't sit over there all by yourself. So you get, come sit here and okay, all right. Is it God's will for my brother here to be here all the way from Michigan? Michigan. God bless you, brother. I can understand why God brought you here, okay? Is it God's will? Yes, it's yes. And what I'm saying is if you are in God's will as you are seeking after him, he is not just wanting you to come here and just live. He wants you to know the relationships within the pews. Okay? And what do we tend to do as Americans as we tend to sit over here by ourselves? Why? Because it's uncomfortable being with other people. I mean, this guy sitting behind me, he's got a bald head and he's got a son. And I mean, you know, it's just, I'd rather just sit over here. That is our natural tendency, okay? But God comes and says, no, I have a community of faith that I want you to be involved with. I want you to know Jimmy. I want you to know Mo. I want you to know their lives. I want you to see in their lives something that I have done, and I want it to affect you. What the world, the devil, and the flesh wants to do is just, hey, let's be separate. It's just, I'm more comfortable if you're just not in, you're getting too, sit up, Brody. So Brody is fine me talking like this. Brody is not fine with me talking like this. See? We have a space. Okay, Pastor, love you very much, but just stay right over there, okay? You see what I'm saying? And I don't have any problem with that, and I don't do that often, but not often. but I want you to realize God Almighty created everything, has determined that this guy and this guy get to know each other. If this guy was going down the street to another church in another location, no. But if he's here by God's design, I'm supposed to know him. I'm supposed to get to know him. So James shows up from who knows where in Florida, and he says, hey, I want to come to church here. Okay, who are you? I'm from Florida. Okay. And then all of a sudden his brother comes, Derek, all right? And Derek's going, I'm just following James. I mean, this is kind of weird here. God's will for us is that we get to know each other. So I got a guy right here all the way from Romania. Okay? Mom and dad are sitting right back here. Okay. There are missionaries in Romania having a profound impact of a church that's still living, still thriving. Okay? And God says, I want you to move to South Carolina. South Carolina? Yeah, to Greer. What? Greer. Where is that? And what is that? Okay. It's Greenville. Please listen to me. God's will is for that family to be in this church so that you can know them. That's God's call. Do not think, well, it's just happenstance. No, sir. No, sir. It's God's will. Okay, so God brings you here. You say, it's pretty nice. You know, it's okay. It's a homeless church, but we're okay with that. Okay, fine. What is Hope Chapel? So I've got five people that are going to help me on this. I should say four people, excuse me. And I did on purpose, I did not tell them ahead of time so they could prepare. And they're going to, each one of them are going to give a value, and they're going to explain it, and they're going to take 2 minutes, read the paragraph, read the passage of Scripture, and then they're going to explain it a tad, and then give an application. Those things that they'll do, okay? And the reason for that is, the same question I asked at the very beginning, do you believe God is sovereign? And we would say yes. So it's God's will that you're here. So here's the question. What does he want from you here? What does he want from you here? Elders have been thinking and praying and moving through this on purpose. What does God want from us? Doesn't matter what Will wants. Doesn't matter what Bobby wants. Doesn't matter what Mark wants. Doesn't matter what Ron, Baron, Greg, doesn't matter. What matters is, what does God want? And it's going to be different than every single church in America. Might be similar, but it's going to be different because God is drawing us. Okay? Is this making sense? All right, so here's my question. What is Hope Chapel? And we started 12 years ago. 2012. What is Hope Chapel? Your first thing that comes to your head is what? It's a church. It's a body of believers, right? What kind? Well, look at the top phrase under the introduction. This is what we call is our mission statement. Now, we didn't bait and switch. We didn't do that. We did not do that. Okay. How many in here are members of Hope Chapel? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand, okay? All right. We gave you, when you came in, four pillars, right? We're changing that to five values, all right? We don't think that you'll be shocked at it, but this is what a church needs to do all the time, is to refine and refine and refine to what God. We're a different church today than we were a year ago. Got that? How do I know that? Because there's different people here. Make sense? They circle around the same things, but there's different people. So, this last week, girl that cleans this entire place, his name is Mary, okay? And I want you to pray for Mary, okay? She said that she might be here today. She's Hispanic. I said, great, we have a whole section of our church that's Hispanic. Love to talk with you. I went and talked to Sandy this morning about it. She hasn't showed up. She has. I've missed her. Mary, are you here? No, I don't see Mary. She has two children, and they're interested in bringing the kids to the teenage group. I don't know if she knows Jesus, but you know what I do know? I love being able to share with her that there is a church that's going to love her and care for her. Does that make sense? So, what is Hope Chapel? So look at that first statement. The mission of Hope Chapel is to glorify God. Do not ever, ever, ever forget that or change that. Okay? Do not forget that. The mission of Hope Chapel is to glorify God. I don't care what we do. I don't care how big we get. I don't care where we go. If we miss that, we've missed it all. Right? If a church isn't glorifying God, it's missing. Right? Would you agree? All right, so Hope Chapel, the mission of Hope Chapel is to glorify God by doing what? making disciples. Now, let me ask you all a question, and I want you to answer this vocally from your soul. What is God's commission for you personally? According to Matthew 28, and you can turn it, and I've already gotten there, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we, all Christian believers, Mark, Holly, Gordon, all of us, have but one mission. We call it the Great Commission, right? And that Great Commission is to do what? Do you know that you're supposed to make disciples? Do you know that you're supposed to make disciples? Do you guys know that you're supposed to make disciples? Okay, here's the stinging question. You already gave it. Are you? So this is what I want you to do. You got the piece of paper? Underneath that first two lines, I want you, and I did it already, write down the names of the people that you are obeying God by making disciples. Write their names down. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. That right now, I could say before God, I'm seeking to make disciples of Jesus Christ of them. I'm mentoring them. I'm loving them. I'm teaching. You say, whoa. I'm a senior in high school. Come on. Who am I doing? Who am I mentoring? Answer, junior high kid. Answer, 5-year-old kid. I'll tell you straight up, I hug this little girl right here and any other kid that wants to. I hug this kid on, you know why? I want to mentor her. I want her to know Pastor loves me. Make sense? And that's maybe the only thing that I get into her head. Pastor loves me. Do you get what I'm saying? So you parents can say, yeah, I can put all my kids' name, and I didn't put any of my kids' name in there, okay? But you could put that down there. But the question is, are you mentoring them? Are you making disciples of them? You see what I'm saying? Because that's your goal. According to the commission, Jesus said, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples. Make disciples is the verb in that verse. It's the only verb in that. The going, the baptizing, and the teaching are participles. Gosh, Pastor, what in the world? Yeah, let me tell you about the English. I was terrible in English, all right? But a participle is a verbal. It's you're doing something. I'm walking, all right? Make disciples is the verb, and the participles are linked to it. So this is what the verse says. You make disciples by going, by teaching, and by baptizing. That's what Jesus says there. So my question again, underline that, under that, put the names of the people that you can say before God, I am making disciples. I am seeking to make disciples of this person. How many disciples did Jesus make when he left the earth? First of all is the what? 12, right? There were 12. How many were in the upper room after he left and went to heaven? 120. How many does Paul say that Jesus appeared to after he was raised from the grave? 500. Okay. Is that big? Hey, where are the thousands, man? Where's the 10,000? Where's the, 50? What? Come on, it's Jesus. See what I'm saying? My question is to you. Are you making disciples? Now, here's it. Are you being made a disciple? So I am standing here seeking to make disciples of these people, and I am being made a disciple by somebody else. Do you see that? You say, you're a pastor. Somebody's making, yes. I've got people who are discipling. There's a guy that I met this weekend, a couple days ago, good friend of mine, love him very dearly. He is God's messenger into my life to make me more like Jesus Christ. Ticks me off when somebody is more like Jesus Christ than me. Just ticks me off. Okay, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be, oh, that's wonderful. He's so godly. I really, really love him. Why can't I do that? Okay. Bobby, I love him dearly. He's younger than I am. Ticks me off all the time. Will, you just need to love them. Just shut up, but God is using him to teach me to be more like Jesus Christ. Ron has been doing it for 50 years. So all of this is what we do as a church. And brothers and sisters, if we're not doing it, then we'll stand before God and give an account. We have to be doing this. So Lee and Mary Lynn start coming to our life group. So Mary Lynn and Lee are coming to our life group. Okay? They walk up. Now they're coming to our church. That's all God, but it doesn't end there. Now there's another couple that's just up the road that have come to our life group, and they're working through their, not everybody. Now another couple has moved in and they're trying to work. What are we doing on our street? We're trying to make disciples of anybody and everybody that walks in. Amen? Yeah. And it means making meals for them, which they do. But it's making disciples. That's our mission here. Our mission here is not to get big. I do not want 300, you say, yeah, see, you don't like a big church. I don't care about a big church. Because I know when I get a big church, I don't get to know you. I go out to eat with this guy every other week on Friday at lunch, and we enjoy it. It's favorite for us. I meet on Thursday mornings with the tallest guy in the church. He ticks me off just by his size, okay? But we do that every Thursday. What am I doing with it? Making disciples. Make sense? But it can't just be me and the elders making disciples. Jimmy, now he will push back on this. Jimmy has a responsibility to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Jimmy's tendency, I tell you, because I know him and I love him, no, I'm not good enough to do that. You know what I see God doing up in heaven? Can't wait to use this guy. And God will use him and his wife in the lives of people. You say, I'm reading a story about Rahab. Did God use Rahab? What kind of woman was Rahab? You want her as a neighbor, right? Isn't that right? Wouldn't Rahab be a great neighbor? No. Did God use her? Put her in the line of Christ. Okay. Said all this, we got to be careful because I want you to understand, this is why, if you are here, this is what God's call in your life is, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Okay, so with that, we have five values, and I want you to look at those. They're core values. I'll give you the first one. I got 2 minutes on this, so this is what I want you to, so read with me on core value number one. Of Hope Chapel, the core value number one is the authority of God's word. We hold God's word as our ultimate authority. Therefore, we are committed to submitting our lives to understanding, teaching, proclaiming the authority over God's world as we strive to advance the cause of Christ both locally and globally. So that has to do with missions also. The authority of God's word. What does that mean? Well, let's look at you're in Matthew. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 4. There is no 2 Timothy. Yes, there is. Just kidding. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing his last letter, last chapter, last section, and he says this, preach the word. Chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And then in 2 Timothy, if you want to turn there, but you guys know this, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture, what? Is God-breathed or inspired of God? All right. Tells us there in that passage of scripture, all scripture is inspired of God. And we... have been given the Word of God so that we can become more like what Jesus wants us to be. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So explaining it this means we put everything upon the Word of God. You have every right as a person in this church to say, why are we doing that? And if the elders are not explaining it or giving it from the Word of God, then you should call us into account for it. Word of God is our authority. But if the Word of God tells us to do something, we have no ability to walk away from it. We have to do it. And this is why we're trying to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So how do I apply that? We apply that in multiple ways. We apply that on Sunday morning when I'm up here preaching. We apply that in small groups when we go through the Word of God. That's how we apply this first section. So we give ourselves over to the Word of God. Now, there's going to be four other people who are going to come up, and they're going to go through all of this. They can stand up where they want and just read through that. They're going to explain it, and they're going to apply it, and we'll go to the next one. So the second one is sacrificial discipleship. So the first one is authority of God's Word. Second one is sacrificial discipleship. Bobby. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so the first one is authority of God's Word. Second one is that we are to be involved in sacrificial discipleship. Third one, I'm going to ask my wife to stand, and she's in charge of the worship team right now, and so she's going to do number three. Well, Brody's kind of close to that. I'm just kidding. So mission statement is we are to make disciples, sacrificial disciples, right? And our values, the first one is the authority of God's word. Second one is, okay, say that out with me. If you, first one is, second one is, third one is vertical worship, okay? Very, very good. Number four is relentless prayer, barren. You're up.
Says we know God uses prayer to change us and people around us. Therefore, we are committed to praying often, praying alone, praying in groups, and reminding each other how important prayer is to a spirit and a life and a healthy church. Ephesians 6:18 says this: praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication.
Okay, so the mission of Hope Chapel is, okay, we're to glorify God, to make disciples, okay? That's our mission, to make sacrificial disciples of Jesus Christ, all right? And our values, first one is, the second one is, okay, so I'm getting a lot of eyes go down, all right? Try to do this looking at me like this, all right? So the first one is, second one is, third one is, fourth one is, you guys are great. We got one more. Mark, on the last one, eager witness. Amen. So first, what's our mission is to make disciples or sacrificial disciples of Jesus Christ. And we have five values, and let's go through those. First one is, second one is sacrificial discipleship. Third one is, fourth one is, fifth one is, those are the things that are the surrounding fortress for who we are as a church. Now, here's the point. If you're okay with that, we're good. Because we all got to grow in it, correct? But if there's a part of this you're going, you know what, that's just not, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I love you very much. I love you very much. I love you. But this may not be the church for you. Because you say, what? Yeah. We want to do this. This is what we want to do. And that means we're going to have to commit ourselves to that.